2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Dota into DFS pros.
Alright, welcome to another DFS Army Bold Calls season-long fantasy football podcast. My name is Kevin Allen, a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Geek. I've got season-long Says on the line, a.k.a. Alan Sislowski. What's up, Says?
How are ya?
Alright, I love talking fantasy football. Let's see, today is Tuesday, July 17th, and we're a little before, you know, the heart of season-long draft season, but we're pretty well, you know, in the heart of best ball drafting season. Have you checked out the contest that draft.com put together, this $1 million sort of tournament thing they have going on?
For football, is it best ball format? I'm not familiar with this one. What is it all about?
Okay, so draft.com, which if you're listening, go to www.draft.com and use promo code FFGeek to sign up for it and get a free entry into a best ball league. But draft.com set up a tournament, and I was just looking at how it works. And so they have 40,000 entrants, and everybody plays in a 12-team league. In all of those leagues, I guess the winners of each of those leagues, the first place winner at week 12, move on to this sort of finals tournament.
So there's an overall contest aspect to this. So you're not just trying to win your league, you're trying to win the overall contest.
It's an overall with the top prize. I believe the top winner gets $100,000. Let's say you win your 12-person league. You got to win it. 12 weeks. Week 13, you're placed in another grouping where the top three move on to week 14. Again, another 12-team grouping you're placed in. Top three move on to week 15, and so on and so forth. Until, you know, the final week where whoever's left just goes mano-a-mano. I think the final 60 or 70, whoever have it laid out, like the last place will get $2,000 and first place is like 100.
So it has an NCAA tournament sort of feel in the playoffs. It's you have to win in your bracket matchup in order to move on. That sounds pretty cool.
Either win or I think it actually seemed like it's like the top three move on once you're in the playoffs. So, you know, you don't have to come in first. Once you get to week 13, you're against other teams that are won their league. So every team is going to be pretty good. Really fun.
I couldn't help but notice, and, you know, talking about these contests and we're talking about season-long football and best ball is in full effect here. I couldn't help but notice that you put out your running back rankings just about the same time I did. And are we going to hit on that one today?
Absolutely. So, you know, I thought that'd be a cool thing to cover because – both of our RB rankings lists published right around the same time. Of course, I've gotten my entire draft list out, which anybody can access on DFSArmy.com under NFL season-long fantasy football. So I have my full rankings out, which I adjust throughout the off-season. Training camp will bring some changes. And says you have your MFL 10 best ball RB rankings live.
And these will suffice for season long as well at this point. They're kind of all meshing into one. There's very few changes to season long versus best ball. A couple, you know, it's more the biggest changes between best ball and season long are more at the receiver position. But when you're talking about running backs, it's very similar rankings.
Yeah, and I would say the biggest difference for me isn't so much where I would rank a running back, so much as how early I'm really targeting some of these running backs. So, you know, that's a little bit of the difference for me personally, where I'm in one right now where round three, top of round three, the best available running back is Darius Geis, right?
And who did you take in round one and round two?
I actually went, and I haven't done this, but just the way the draft fell to me, I actually took two wide receivers, which I don't recommend and I have not been doing.
And what draft slot did you have?
I started with slot number 9, and Hopkins was still on the board.
Right. So, and I know you're high on Hopkins. That's right about the time you're deciding between Hopkins and if you want like Fournette or whoever the Melvin Gordon, whoever the running back is there. I understand. Yeah.
Gordon could have been available still. Maybe Cook was still there. But you know, a couple guys. Hopkins dropping to 9 means, you know, Kamara's off the board. Probably Hunt or, you know, most of the top studs were off. And then by the time my second pick came around, it was a choice between Michael Thomas or names like Jordan Howard and Devonta Freeman. And I just thought it was a little too soon for those guys, for better or for worse. So I took the stud wide receiver, but I don't recommend doing that.
Hey, in your recent, I know it's just a sample of one, so it means nothing, but where's Zeke going in your draft here, in this particular draft?
You know what, I'll pull it up right now because
because he is moving on up. I mean, as of today, we heard about the Le'Veon Bell news. He has not solved the contract problem. There's threat of a holdout. I don't think it's going to happen, but with mileage building up, some risk there. I'm moving Zeke ahead of him. If we're drafting today for a season-long league, I'm still taking Gurley at 1, but I'm taking David Johnson or Zeke at 2, and I'm actually moving Bell down to 4 right now. I'm perfectly, of course, Bell is still going to be a monster, but I'm just moving him a tick below those guys, and I want to know how you felt about that.
Okay, so I already have – I had already moved Bell to 4th overall in my rankings.
Okay, so we're in the same place on Bell.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. Based on what I'm hearing in the blurbs and the talk and whatnot, I don't think Bell is going to hold out. By hold out, I mean I don't think he'll go to training camp, but I think he will be there for week 1. Very similar to last year where he hadn't trained much and, you know, had to work him in, and it took a couple games to get him fully up to speed.
Look at the game log. It doesn't take him long to get up to speed. He's one of those guys from everything I've read that – He comes there in shape. He's one of the hardest workers on the team. He's a first in, last out. But who the hell would want to go to training camp? From what I understand and from Hard Knocks, when you watch it, training camp looks horrible. I mean, you're a rich millionaire, and then you're going to living in a bunk bed.
It looks awesome. I would love to be a training camp. Me.
Well, not a millionaire that's done it 5 times, 7 times in a row. So I don't blame him for holding out, and I have no worry about Bell coming in shape. It just feels like there's a little bit more risk than the other guys at this point, and I have, like I told you, I'm moving Zeke and David Johnson up.
Yeah, I'm all in on David Johnson being above Bell. Again, I have my reasons, and what I put in my rankings list and kind of my reasoning for Bell is, you know, I know he's done it before. And I know he's come in late and not had the training camp and done just fine. But I believe that missing training camp leads to soft tissue, lower body type injuries that linger. Now, I don't have any statistical data to prove it. I just have my observations. And my observations could be tainted by, you know, all kinds of biases. But then, nonetheless, I think that's what happens. And for that even sliver of a chance, you know, when we're splitting hairs at the top end of the RB rankings, and these guys are the first 4 off the board anyway, so they're literally the top end of the fantasy rankings, we're splitting hairs. These guys are all really awesome. So
let's move down a couple tiers and talk about those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I do see some, like, significant, you know, I'm going to say question marks that I have about your rankings that are kind of really different. I think I'm going to try to look for where that starts to happen, because I think we're pretty close to similar across the board. I'm a little lower probably on Melvin Gordon than you are. I'm definitely lower on Devonta Freeman, Christian McCaffrey.
Well, where do you have them? Like, so okay,
I just have
so
them
have,
after Howard have, and McKinnick.
I have Cook at 10, Devonta Freeman at 11, and McCaffrey at 12. After him, I have Mixon, McKinnon, and Howard. So you just have those guys reordered. I could be in a full PPR. Christian McCaffrey makes his money. I mean, if he gets you 75 catches, I mean, which is not, I mean, that seems like pretty reasonable. That and 100 carries. I mean, he's going to be right there.
I think McCaffrey lacks touchdown upside. And so he's going to be this consistent player. Yes, he can get you 16 points a game, 14 points a game. But I don't think outside of, you know, he's a player that's, I have a problem with Kamara in this sense also. He's a player that we're going to rely on breakaway big plays in order to put up big numbers. Alvin Kamara has the same issue. The difference is the Saints offense over the years has produced from the position really, really nice scores occasionally from the position that Alvin Kamara plays, right? They used to have Darren Sproles in that spot. And he would break. They run plays that are designed from the 20-yard line, the pass to the running back where he scores. Like, they'll run Kamara towards the end zone.
Reggie Bush was in that spot for
a
while.
Yeah, and they run plays designed for him even in the red zone. Whereas McCaffrey is really, I don't think he's going to get the red zone touches. I think what's going to happen with McCaffrey is he's going to kind of be like a slot wide receiver. I think, you know, his upside is like Julian Edelman.
Right, but wait, I just want to hit on what you said. You just said he doesn't have to touch that upside. And I agree with that. I actually have him projected for 3 rushing touchdowns and 3 receiving touchdowns, so 6 total touchdowns. So mm-hmm. I agree with you. What I'm saying is that when you do the projections, if you give him, say, 700 yards rushing, and you give him another 700 yards receiving, okay, and which I think are modest and reachable projections, and you give him 75 catches – remember, 75 catches, I mean, that's like adding another handful of touchdowns. In a PPR league, it really is easy money when you get these backs that get 100, 110 carries, and then you add 60, 70, 75 catches. You don't really need the touchdown upside in a full PPR.
Well, now, it depends where. Again, I have all of those receptions, all of that, and touchdown upside with players like, you know, Fournette, Cook, you know.
Yeah, but we have those guys ranked above McCaffrey.
Yeah, but maybe I get those same numbers, you know, from guys like Kenyon Drake. My point is, McCaffrey's not. It's also where he is. McCaffrey is going his ADP.
It's the middle of the second.
Middle of the second round. Like, I can do better. I'd just rather wait for what McKinnon's going to bring. I'd rather wait a round or two and get Kenyon Drake or someone like that. So that's really. That's really my issue. Rashad Penny, I think, brings something similar to the table. Guys, Jones, even Lamar Miller. There are other names that you can get later that I think have similar potential to McCaffrey. And McCaffrey's just not going to put up big numbers. I remember him last year and what he did and the way they played him. And, you know, he's got a peak of about – he'll have a ceiling right in the low 20s. And that'll be a ceiling game. You know, he'll have 3 of those. I think
you're talking about fantasy points in a game?
Yeah, PPR fantasy points. I think he's going to have a ceiling, and maybe he'll get you 3 games of, you know, 20-plus points next year. But I think most of the time he's going to be in that, and this is in PPR, he'll be in that, you know, 11 to 14 points range where he doesn't score, but he gets you, you know, 6 or 7 receptions and maybe 70 all-purpose yards. And I don't think that's enough for a mid-second round pick for me. I don't like Devontae, but nonetheless, so I move him. He's below Kenyon Drake on my ranking is where I'm getting at.
So you're passing on him because you can get Drake right now in the 3-4 turn, end of the third, beginning of the fourth. I mean, in some leagues where I've seen him fall to the fifth, not many, but you're out on him. You're taking – so in that same area where
– that's where, like, McCaffrey's going. In other drafts, what I've done in that late second round area, because that's kind of a dead zone for me personally, that late second, mid-late second round, where there's a lot of players I don't like who are ADP'd around there, like LeSean McCoy, for example, and whatnot. So what I'm – you know, I've done some creative things. I've grabbed, like, Travis Kelce there.
Well, McCaffrey's going in, like, the 4th to 7th pick of the second round. So when you're taking – when you're choosing between McCaffrey, McCoy is obviously he's out of the second round. No one's touching him there anymore. What you're choosing between is you're choosing between Devonta Freeman, McCaffrey, Mixon, or you're going AJ Green.
AJ Green. That's right. Evans, Green. A couple of guys get you super excited, but I mean, that's who Joe Mixon, Kelce, Gronk.
The problem is this year, and you're going to see it when you draft, is that people are going running back crazy. So you have to follow the market. So again, it's not so much as that if you like a player a little bit better than the other. Sure, you have to love your team and draft the players you like, but the running back market dries up very quickly, more quickly this year than it has in the past few. People are going RB like they did, you know, 7, 8, 10 years ago. I think that a couple teams will rip off three wide receivers in a row and do that whole zero RB thing. But I think and
by the way, I think that's going to fail. That approach is not going to work.
You know what? If one or two guys are doing it in your league, it can work. It's that what happened was last year and the year before, when like five or six guys or four guys in your league were going zero RB, it didn't work because it was pushing up guys like Eric Decker into the third round. But when only one or two guys are doing it, it can work. If you go Hopkins, I saw a guy in a draft today go Hopkins Julio on the 10-13, yes. And then he came back with Diggs and Hilton in 3 and 4. I mean, it can work.
I don't think it's going to work for that guy. I mean, but yeah, listen, you gotta take what the draft gives you. And that's why I was mentioning that in this most recent MFL or draft league I'm in, as much as I've been, you know, all about four running backs with my first five picks, you know, in the case of this one, you know, I went a different way. And I got OBJ and I got, you know, Hopkins because I love him. And I wound up with Mike Thomas. Maybe don't love that pick in hindsight, but everybody was off the board, and you know, I'm looking at, you know, I was at the board looking at like Freeman, who I just don't draft, or Jordan Howard or McCaffrey, and that group is just not who I want at the top of the second round. So it almost forced my hand in a sense, because McKinnon was off the board. McKinnon was the guy, or Dalvin Cook is the guy I usually like to take in that early second round, and they were gone. And so now I'm looking at Freeman, who, again, I have ranked not – I don't like Freeman. I don't like RBBCs high in the second round. I've never have drafted him, and I don't think I ever will. Like, I need to wait for Tevin Coleman to get hurt for Freeman to be, you know, valuable. No, thank you. And the proof and
Freeman. Freeman's all right there. I think Freeman's pretty valuable. I mean, he is the lead guy. He's the goal line guy. I don't think Tevin Coleman, even though he's a – he's a high-end handcuff, and he has standalone value. I think Freeman is a very reasonable pick in the later part of the second round.
One of the advantages I have is being as hardcore with the DFS as I am with the daily stuff, is I remember what these guys were priced at as running backs, right? And if I can, I know the price, the salaries, and the salaries are indicative of the scoring potential of the player. And Devonta Freeman is a sub $7,000 running back on FanDuel. He was last year. He's about $6,600. That put him in the same range with mediocre running backs. He was not priced as a stud because he doesn't produce as a stud. And so it's another situation where I'm just going to wait. Kenyon Drake was over $7,000 last year. He was in the mid sevens. Whereas Freeman, mid sixes. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, with that specific situation, and you're right, the correlation between pricing and players is exactly what you said. But that what's different about daily, as you know, and season long, is you have access to the entire player pool. Here, you do not. Once somebody takes a player off the board in season long, they're no longer available to you, whereas you could pick from – you have the entire player pool. So it's also about not just salary and what your scoring potential is. It's about supply at the position. So I think that's a distinction.
Absolutely.
That you have to make.
But, you know, again, it's do I want to spend – I only get one second round pick, and I'm not spending it. This is just how I approach it. It's why I have Freeman lower. Like I said, when I look at our rankings, and if we want to just compare, like – you have Freeman, McCaffrey, and Mixon going above McKinnon, Howard, you know, Drake, and guys. I have those kind of flipped. And other names. I mean, like Lewis, Hoyce Freeman. Mm-hmm. I have Penny and Collins, like Ajayi, Ronald Jones. I have all those guys above that group. So
I'm going to ask you about a couple of specific guys here. And I'm going to ask you this question, and then I'll answer it myself after I ask it to you. Who's a running back right now that you're reaching a round or two ahead to get them before consensus ADP or expert consensus? Where who are those two or three running backs that you're reaching ahead to get?
All right, so the biggest, I think, misprices for me, and this is a really good question, the biggest misprices for me versus ADP, which is really what we want to look at. We want to look at a measure of value relative to their current ADP. So in other words, I'm gonna give you a few. The current ADP has, and I already mentioned this guy, but I'm going to go back to it, and I don't want to go to the top of the thing. The current ADP position ranking for Kenyon Drake is RB19. I have him as RB14.
So that's
a big difference.
Are you reaching ahead to the second round to take Drake?
Yeah, I like Drake towards the end of the second round.
Okay, so that's definitely, like I said, that you would get him every time in the second round without question. You're taking him above guys like
or Mixon. I might take him, you know, I might take him in the third round. But nonetheless, if he's there, I'm taking him ahead of, you know, like, that's what I'm saying. What I might do is I might wait. I don't like to take a player super early. So, like, let's say, and just a readout on him, and I'll give you some other ones too, but right now I have Drake's ADP as pick 45 overall.
So do the math. Divided by 12, like in a 12-team league, where is he going?
You're talking mid-fourth round.
Right, mid-fourth, right, 12 times, right, I got it.
So I'm not going to take him in the second. This is what I'm saying. Like this, now, well, best ball is a little different. He's going a little quicker, but he's going a little sooner. But I don't overstretch it.
Okay.
So I'll see a scenario like that, and even if he's on my ranking as value late second round, if I think he's going to be there middle of the third, I'll just wait and take him in the third.
I'll ask the question a different way, or it kind of the same way. Who is a guy that you're reaching ahead two rounds at least, if not at least a full round to get? A guy that you know goes in the sixth that you're reaching in the fourth to get. A guy that goes in the fourth that you're reaching in the second. A guy that goes in the eighth that you're reaching up to the fifth to get. Who's a guy that you're just totally reaching ahead because you got to have him? A guy you're reaching at least two rounds for.
Yeah, I mean, that just is not my style to do that.
Fallen in love with any of these guys yet?
I don't fall in love in fantasy football. So I never want to. I'm a strong believer in value. I love bargains. I used to talk about this on the pod last season for daily. But I'm clipping coupons when I can, which means, you know, referring to like when a player is mispriced, I want him. I want the value. So I like the value. I don't reach two rounds ahead. Maybe I'll just go through the other two players that I like a lot more than what the field does, and those are the two rookies, Rashad Penny and Ronald Jones Jr. Like, yep. Ronald Jones Jr., he's going RB26, so as a flex play. I have him as RB20 right there with Geis and Mixon and Ajayi. Go ahead.
So you're in the fourth. If you're in the late fourth round, okay. And you got a suspended Mark Ingram sitting there, suspended for four games. I'm talking about in season long now, not in best ball. Are you taking Mark Ingram or are you taking your guy, Ronald Jones?
I think I'm taking Ronald Jones there.
How about Derrick Henry, who they just said today is going to be the starter in Tennessee?
Derrick Henry, I don't give a shit. He is one of my least favorite. I think he's being drafted way too high. I think you have him too high in your rankings. I think he's generally just ranked too high.
Well, where do you think I have him? What number running back do you think I have?
All right, so you have him right after, right before Ronald Jones Jr.
Right, I have him at RB26, which is basically a high end RB3.
It's not that worth. Yeah, I have him at 28, so I guess not. There it is.
Right.
All right, so it's not that off. It's hard to tell because we need to reformat, add in those numbers.
I'll answer my own question. A guy that I'm reaching ahead of the field on that I've warmed up to. There's three guys four, but I'll rip through them. One of them is Tariq Cohen. We've talked about him in a PPR league. I'm in. You know, he's called the human joystick for a reason. I think he was I think everybody knows he was misused last year. I heard a really funny joke. Someone said last year giving John Fox Tariq Cohen was like giving an iPhone to a caveman. He just totally didn't know what to do with him or how to use it. And this year in a Matt Nagy offense, I think he's going to explode. I think he's going to be, He's going in like the eighth round. I'm reaching up to the late fifth, early sixth to get him. If I've gone receiver early, I'll let it fall to me. Another guy. I mean, what do you feel about Tariq Cohen?
By the way, I love that. That is a bold call on the Bold Call podcast, and I like it a lot.
Okay, the other guy is Sony Michel. Right now, I have him ranked at 25, but I'm going to redo that. I got to move him up. I'm going to have him in the 18 range, probably kick him right behind Kenyon Drake and ahead of Deion Lewis. I think if you've gone receiver in the first round, and then you're sitting there, and well, say you don't go running back at pick five, you go Antonio Brown, and then on the way back you come back with like Mike Evans or someone like that, or whoever the receiver you like in the third round right there, I'm willing to reach ahead and grab Sony Michel. That's another one that I'm going to reach ahead of the. He's going right now in the mid fourth. So I'm going to reach ahead a full round in a lot of drafts and get him. The Patriots took him in the first round. He's basically replacing Deion Lewis. I know he had some fumbling issues in college, and Bill Belichick, you know, we've seen what he's done with fumblers. Sometimes I think he buries them where Jimmy Hoffa is. But at the end of the day, I think this guy's just going to light it up, and he's going to be one of these guys we're talking about in the late first round next year. Sony Michel is for me in the third round.
I'm not jumping on board with that one. I don't really trust the Patriots and how they're going to deploy their running back position in general. Burkhead's still there. White still kind of being worked in on those passing downs. So I'm not as high, and I'm not going to be as high on Michel, for better or worse. I like Lamar Miller ahead of more than Sony Michel.
All right, and just to keep the pace moving, you know who I'm warming up to as well? I'm feeling really good about C.J. Anderson, taking him in the sixth round. He's been going in the eighth round. I even put on my rankings his ADP in the eighth round. It's too good to be true, but I see him moving up. He is going to be the goal line hammer. I think that people are rightfully worried about when it gets down to the 2-yard line in Carolina that Cam has been the goal line back essentially. But they said last year they wanted to not run Cam as much. That proved not to be true. But I think that's one of the reasons they brought in C.J. Anderson, is to relieve Cam of some of those short yardage plunges. I think that C.J. Anderson, I'm not saying he's going to be a yardage monster, but I could see a situation where C.J. Anderson hits 10 touchdowns. So in the sixth round, as my RB3 or my first guy, my first running back on the bench, and even if I have to plug him in there as my number two, if I went early on some other positions, I'm targeting C.J. Anderson in the sixth round ahead of his ADP right now.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind the play. I just want to, you know, I would not be too happy with Anderson as my starter. I like him more. I wouldn't be excited about plugging him into any starting lineup, period. But I do like him a little more in best ball formats where, you know, he's going pretty late, and yeah, he's going to get touchdowns. So, you know, best ball formats, he gets that 1-2 touchdown. As long as I'm not relying on him to score for me every single week, you know, occasionally as a fill-in, sure. But, I mean, Jonathan Stewart didn't do shit in that offense, in that role. Like, we've seen the role play out, and it's not that it doesn't put up any points. It just doesn't put up a lot of points or consistent points. But then there'll be that one game where like, I remember, you know, Stewart would put up 100 yards and get you 2 touchdowns. Like, it can happen.
Stewart wasn't good, though. He just wasn't good. He was a mess last year. His yards per carry were terrible.
But he's been with the team. We're 5 years into Stewart. Like, he's always done the same thing. That's
right. And I think that what I'm saying is C.J. Anderson's a major upgrade. I'm in the camp where I think C.J. Anderson is good. He's a 1,000-yard running back.
Interesting.
That's really good. And also, do you know who the new offensive coordinator is there? They went totally antiquated. It's Norv Turner.
Ugh.
Norv, I know, and I know it before. It's if I like C.J. Anderson, I can't really like Christian McCaffrey because it's kind of,
well, this is what I'm saying. I mean, you like Christian McCaffrey a little too much if you like C.J. also. Although I don't mind the handcuff concept.
Right. I mean, it's early to handcuff a guy. I don't think you take them both. I think if you're a McCaffrey guy in the second, you leave C.J. alone. I think if you pass on McCaffrey like you plan to do, and you get stuck at running back, I don't think CJ is a bad idea. Norv is a power running scheme type of guy. For better or for worse, I think they're going to – the first few games, they're going to roll out there. I think CJ Anderson is a lock for 15 carries a game for the first 3 weeks.
That would be, you know, interesting. But I'll have to say, I didn't know that Norv Turner had taken over there. And
man, horrible.
Does that name sound like one of those retread names that, like, never – it's just such a he's the Lamar Miller of offensive coordinators. We're like, ugh.
Yeah. Well, where do you stand on Gruden as the Raiders coach? Do you think it's a good idea, bad idea? Are you happy he's back as
a
head coach?
Oh yeah, I like Gruden. I think Gruden is an exciting head coach. Certainly not a retread, you know, like a Norv Turner.
Well, Gruden's won a Super Bowl. Gruden's actually
I know that he's been around, but I mean he's coach. Like he didn't leave the sport because, you know, he had washed out with a couple teams. You know, he got recruited away from Tampa.
It's a stressful job, you know, staying. I mean, those guys, they age more. They age like the president ages. I mean, they go in, they're up all night. They live and die. Their currency is wins and losses. They're trying to please the fan base. I mean, being
a
head coach.
It's a very intense job. It's a very intense job. And you know what's not that intense of a job for the same money? Being an announcer for Monday Night Football.
I mean, those guys work pretty hard too, man. I mean, they have to know the ins and outs. They have to be entertaining. It's not as stressful as a head coach, I'm sure. I mean, just the looks at it, but that's a tough job, man.
I mean, it's not anywhere near being a head coach. You know, then you're done. And then, you know, all right, I'll see you next week, guys. You know, you did the game. Good stuff. You know, it's like
I think those guys, like, they go in and interview players all week. They start learning storylines and trends, and
they got somebody talking in their ear, giving them stories throughout the game. Like those stats, they're not memorizing that stuff. I mean, you know, no, it's not that hard. It's not that hard compared to being a head coach. Head coach, like, you're right, ages you. You know, you start off with hair. You after a couple of years, you have none.
A couple other guys that I want to ask you about, because I know that you wanted to pack a lot into a short time here. So I just want to ask you about a couple other guys. Where are you on a two-game suspended Aaron Jones? Do you like him before the suspension? Do you like him now? Where'd you have him before and after?
I have him my issue – I did not like him before the suspension. I like him obviously less now. And my issue with Aaron Jones is the same as my issue with Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery, which is there's too many guys. It's the same situation as we have with the Browns. There's just too many guys. We don't know which one of these guys is going to emerge. It's not even a lock that one of them will. And that's the issue for me. Like, you watch the Packers, and you know they're very comfortable running two back, not two back configurations, but split touch scenarios. Even when they had what they thought was a stud for a minute in Eddie Lacy, you know, Starks would come out and play half of the downs. Like, they would just do one set with one guy, one set with the other guy. So that is a coaching staff that's super comfortable splitting carries. The team has never produced a really high-quality running back. So until one of those two guys gets hurt, I don't think – like, I love Jamal Williams the first 2 weeks of the season all in.
So right? What round are you taking Jamal Williams in, knowing that he has the chance to – sees the job in the first.
I mean, I think
weeks,
he's. So. I think you've got to wait. I think you've got to take him, you know, in that, I'm going to say, sixth round area.
Yeah, I mean, that's why these guys are priced there in the sixth, seventh round. I mean, that, you know, if the job had some clarity, then they would be second, third round picks. I mean, it's one of the guys will emerge. One of them, they'll inevitably have some injuries. I liked Aaron Jones as the favorite, especially in PPR. Before that, I was taking him in the sixth, seventh round. Jamal Williams was falling to the ninth, tenth. Their ADPs have flipped, so I'm taking Aaron Jones. I'm not worried about the first two games. The news today that was blurbing around was an article by a Packers beat writer that they knew about this punishment was coming for Aaron Jones, and they are locked into him as being their most dynamic running back. And I think that he's a guy you take in round 8, round 9 now. If you want to beat the field to him, you take him in round 7. You put him on your bench, and when the bye weeks start hitting in week 4, and he's got fresh legs. He hasn't had a couple games of getting knocked around. I think he's going to be a guy that's a potential league winner this year for teams.
See, that another really good call, and I like it. I like it a lot. I like that call. I like the little inside information from Green Bay. And like I said, you don't know, though. I mean, we saw Jones have good games last season. We saw Jamal Williams have good games last season. Like, it wasn't one guy or the other. Both guys look pretty good when they're in there. And that might almost be the challenge. Like, whenever you're playing with Aaron Rodgers, there's such a passing threat that it does open things up in the running game a little bit. And so these guys can have a lot of success. And especially when that team gets a lead at home, you know, they can think about leaning on the run and, you know, the other team quits. And all of a sudden you have these massive days like we saw with Williams last season. And I believe we even saw a couple of games out of Aaron Jones that I'm going to check my game logs here.
He had like a 200-yard game against Dallas last year, like a sick monster in like the middle of the season. And then I think that the next game he either got hurt. I'm just doing this top of the head. And then you remember there was that one game that he got in trouble or suspended or something.
Happened, yeah. He looked good for a minute.
Well, what happened was he came into the game. He got one carry, right? One carry in the game, and he broke it for like a 70-yard touchdown to like win the game. So after that, you were like, all right. Mike McCarthy benched him, but he literally got one carry for like 70 yards in the touchdown. It was something like that. But
he has
the Dallas
talent.
Game.
Yeah, he looked good when he was out there. There was an injury last year. Some weird things going on. But the problem was Jamal Williams looked good too. And so when that happens, the team is more likely to just say, yeah, we'll just split carries with these two guys and then bring in Montgomery on third down, which is the most likely situation of all three. So outside of an injury, what's going to end up happening is they're all basically going to eat into each other's fantasy value and produce nothing. Again, it's not the only team that has that going on. I think the Browns have an egregious case of too many mouths to feed.
Yeah, but one of them will emerge. I mean,
will
you know,
they?
Like,
will they?
I'm not betting on Carlos Hyde to stay healthy. I think, you know, he's only locked in there for 1 year. Nick Chubb will take that job at some point. If he gets on the field, Nick Chubb, and looks good, if he looks like Nick Chubb did before his major injury, I mean, he's just going to take the job. They're not locked into Carlos Hyde. I mean, Duke Johnson has his role. He's the pass-catching guy. He's going to get 5 to 7 carries. I'd like to see him get more, but he's not. But one of those guys, I mean, where they're going right now, I mean, Carlos Hyde could be had in, like, the 8th round, Chubb around the same price. I'm okay taking one of those guys and just hoping it works out. If not, you cut him. But, yeah, I mean, it's impossible to predict at this point which one of those guys, probably Hyde's the favorite, that'll be more productive.
And it's not a team that's going to be ahead. I mean, you know, I guess running backs have done well with Tyrod Taylor in the past. I mean, we've seen Shady McCoy do fine with Tyrod Taylor at the helm. But, I mean, I don't really foresee where the Browns aren't going to be playing from behind a little bit. And they have those dynamic pass catchers. You know, yeah, it's a bench stash. I mean, I want to warn people. You know, these are not players you want to be looking at as starters. They're bench players. Now, I want to get back to Shady because we just talked about him. And I, you know, this isn't fantasy football analysis, but you seem of the mind that he's definitely a goner.
I mean, not definitely a goner. I mean, so look at what's happened over in the NFL with domestic abuse or alleged domestic abuse since Ray Rice. They botched it. They've had the worst PR. I'm not saying that he's guilty. I don't know.
I
read the story. There's a lot of damning information out there, and we'll let it play out. I'm just saying is that I think at this point there's a 40 to 50% chance that there's a suspension, or at least he's put on the commissioner's exempt list. That's what they did to Adrian Peterson. They put him on the commissioner's exempt list. They know they can't have this guy on the field if this is unresolved. And what that means is he basically gets paid, and he's not on an active roster. And you just can't take him in the second round. I've heard some analysts talk about they wouldn't take him to the 8th round. I probably would take him in the 5th, because if it does work out and this is all cleared up, then you're golden. I'm talking about we drafted today. Ideally, or not even ideally, but if you can wait till you have resolution, then you'll know exactly where to take him. But if we were drafting today on July 17th, I'm taking him in the 5th. How about you?
There we go. I mean, that's about right. So, you know, 5th or 6th, 4th or 5th round. My read of the story is, you know, obviously he according to this information, he wasn't around. Like, it wasn't him who broke into the house. The thought is, did he hire somebody to break in and get his stuff back? And right. did that person then go ahead and put a beating on the ex-wife, girlfriend, or whatever she is?
The most damning part of the story is that there was no forced entry, there was a key used, and that they demand, and that allegedly whoever...
Yeah, asked for specific items, right?
Right, right. So, yeah, listen, it's all speculation right now. You're innocent until proven guilty. But even that, in the NFL, you don't have to be innocent until proven guilty. If there is an image problem in the NFL, they can suspend you or put you on the exempt list. They don't want any bad PR. They're just working their way through the kneeling athletes, and I think that storyline is going to be part of it. The last thing they want is a domestic abuse problem, because they're building more and more female fans. Not that female fans are the only ones offended by domestic abuse. Of course, everybody is. But that's not a way to build your brand. And if there's even just any sort of unresolved issues with this, he's not going to be on the field for at least a few weeks.
You know, it's super sketchy. It's just really sketchy. You don't know what's going to happen, but it's not clear as day. It seems like almost something out of a movie.
This happens all the time now.
Hire people to break into their ex-wife's house and beat her up and take her, take your jewelry back. Like, it's just crazy.
I mean, you haven't done that before?
No, but I mean, that bitch was crazy. She deserved that shit.
Oh my God. No, I was obviously only kidding around. That was just. Yeah, I was making a joke that of course you've hired someone to kill somebody before. You know, I know what you've done.
Yeah.
No. And it seems now, like a good way.
You do know some things that I've done, but harming a woman is not one of them. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Kevin and I were college roommates, and that's how we met. And so I've seen him in the most compromising of all positions, and certainly no violence against women, but I've seen you in all sort of different compromising positions, and we'll leave it at that.
I'm aware that tapes exist, and for that reason, I can never run for public office. It's just not
That's
something
right.
I can do.
Yeah. Hey, what's it called? We got to put a bow on this anyway, because I am starving and have to eat dinner.
There
but
we
I'm
go.
I'm happy to get this thing going, man. A couple times a week, I've been getting emails from DFS Army subscribers and from people that have been tweeting the podcast all around, and they want more of this stuff. So I'm happy to give it to them. We just have to coordinate our schedules and get it going.
No doubt. And again, fantasy season is just heating up. It's just heating up now. We get excited. We're doing best ball leagues. I wanted to get back to one previous item before I let you go. In that big tournament I mentioned on draft.com, I was thinking about it, and it does not make sense to actually be drafting for it this early. I think there's going to be a massive disadvantage to the early drafters. So if you're coming across large tournaments like that allow people to continue to draft all the way up through the beginning of the season, like that don't fill that quickly, as much as I want to encourage people to draft now, I would avoid drafting early in those styles of contests because, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, somebody's going to get hurt. It's going to be on half of your teams, and you're going to be screwed, and new people will not have had that piece of misinformation.
I have a different view on it, and there's no right or wrong. It's just a different view. I like that ADP really hasn't formed yet. It's, by middle of August, there's kind of a consensus. This player's a third-round guy, and that guy's a fifth-round guy. Right now is the time you could still get – last year at this time, you were still able to get Kareem Hunt in the ninth round. So, sure, last year Jordy Nelson, or the year before, the 1 year Jordy Nelson got hurt, he was a first-round pick.
Yeah,
but it wasn't on my team, so I didn't care.
It sucks when it happens to you.
You, right, but the chances of it happening to you are a lot less. It's more likely to happen to one of your league mates. So I personally like drafting in super contests like that. I'm in one for the NFFC. I draft early on, but I understand you do have more information when you draft later, but so does everybody else. As smart drafters, and I know you're one of them, I feel like you can pull the wool over your league mate's eyes this early.
Well, it's like I guess there's pros and cons with everything. I could see both sides of that argument, but I could just see both sides of that argument going. Like guys like Hoyce Freeman, you might be drafting him now, you know, in the fourth or fifth round, he could be a second rounder. He could be an eighth or ninth round. But if he loses it, it might be D'Angelo Henderson or somebody, or Devontae Booker that turns out to be the steal. So, you know, you never know. But all right, we'll wrap this up. A little RB talk. We'll come back. We'll do one on wide receivers. We'll do one. We'll just keep going. Do one on. I don't know if I can just do a pod on quarterbacks, but maybe.
Well, with the rise in popularity of Superflex leagues, you and I are in a major competitive Superflex league coming up in August. I think that's a compelling conversation.
Okay, yeah, and the Superflex, that's where those rankings mean a lot more. So, yeah, definitely. All right, so we'll wrap it up. Good stuff. RB position, best ball, season long. Go to dfsarmy.com, click on NFL, go to season long NFL. You'll see a bunch of articles if you click on season long NFL. A lot of these are open to the public. If you are not a DFS Army member and you're listening to this, you don't have to be. A lot of our season-long content, or some of it, is fully free, open to the public. All of season-long says is rankings and articles and pods. These are all publicly available information. You can just click on it. You don't have to be a VIP member. We certainly want you to sign up for our VIP service. That's where you get the full rankings, my rankings with my specific breakdowns and notes on every player for season long, and of course all of the daily fantasy stuff that no one else has. Awesome. The amount of stuff we're getting for daily fantasy for NFL this season is going to blow your mind. And I'm working with just some of the smartest data manipulators out there. I've discovered people toiling in obscurity. All right, that sit there in their basement with their computer and they're crunching numbers, running simulations. It's awesome, the data that we're pulling.
Like Trump said, a 400-pound guy on his bed, 400-pound guy sitting on his bed hacking.
That's literally, right? Those guys who I actually have a team of Ukrainian hackers that work.
Russian hackers working for DFS. And you know what, I'm actually just going to piggyback on what you said, is that I when I was learning DFS, the way that I became really good at it quickly was by studying, because I was always a season-long football guy, and I learned the nuances of DFS by being on your site and being a member. And just for those of you who know, even though I do the podcast with Kevin, I am a paying member of DFS Army, and that is what got me better. So
hell yeah, that's right, nothing's free, my man, even for my roommate.
I'm happy. I make money with it, so I'm happy. I'm happy to be on it.
Hell yeah! Well, some of the cool things were coming this season. We're gonna have ownership projections, a team of actuaries put them together. It's awesome. Ownership projections. You would have to go out and pay $30 a month just for these ownership projections, with nothing else, no tools, no nothing. But we're including it with what our VIP membership. We're getting correlation data that you've never seen before, where we're gonna know that Aaron Rodgers is correlated to a point, whatever it is, degree with Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams. We're going to have data down to the detail to show you how to stack a lineup. No one has this stuff. We're going to have – we do our own projections. We sim our own stuff. Everything's custom. We don't buy canned projections from the sites like the other big websites do. They just have it all pre-delivered. They all use the same stuff.
They buy from you.
Well, we have that too, but more so, we customize our stuff. It's why it's different. It's why our players win tournaments. We're not using pre-canned stuff that every other site uses to where you can't get an edge. We're calculating our own numbers based on Vegas lines and odds value and our models and sims that we run. There's a lot of things going on here, and there's a reason why our players do well. We take all of that. We add in coaching. So if you don't really get it, it's all this data and it seems like really confusing and there's a research station, but I don't understand what all these numbers mean, we have coaching. That's a whole difference between DFS Army and other sites. We have coaching. We have players who are sharp, who answer your questions. They're in a Slack chat together. We all talk about it. Like, hey, how do I use this? Well, here's what you do. Here's how you construct a lineup. How do I use these ownership projections? Well, understand, if everybody's going to be on Julio Jones this week, maybe it's not the best week to use Julio Jones, because if he bombs, he'll take out half the field. Oh, wow, that's cool. You know, that's the kind of stuff. Or we'll explain game theory and how to win these games. So it's a really cool thing. People love it. DFSArmy.com.
Kevin, what I like best about DFS Army when I do daily is that even if I don't want to deal with all these offensive line rankings and coaching rankings and all this other stuff, you have this amazing tool on there where I could literally click a button like a slot machine and it spits out an optimal lineup. And when I use those lineups, I'm usually in a cash game winning my head-to-head or placing in a smaller tournament. So that optimizer is my favorite thing on the website.
That's what the hackers built, man. Domination Station. That's three that we're going on our third year of development, where it's constantly being upgraded and added to. But you know, that's what's it's another thing that sets DFS Army apart. You know, we have our own optimizer. It's designed. I designed it myself. It has features that I wanted for my game.
I wish we had this shit when we were in college, man. When we were in college, if we had DFS, I don't think we would have ever left the dorm.
Yeah, and it's probably better that we didn't. I mean, I was out having fun drinking and chasing girls.
Could you imagine? This would have been insane.
It would have. Yeah, I mean, you know what? If I had this in the college days, I would have probably studied different things. You know, I probably would have been a lot more excited for stats class than I was.
Right.
You know. All right, man. We'll be back next time, man. Go eat. Right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will be back again soon with another Daily Fantasy Football or Season-Long Fantasy Football DFS Army Bowl Call podcast. Peace out.
Peace and love.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game. Yeah.